Stick a same game multi on the NRL with Bluebet and get more bang for your buck. Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. T's and C's apply, gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Good afternoon, everybody. Once again, Gussie Warland is resting up in Orange Hospital after his hernia operation. Hello, Gussie. We hope they're looking after you. Hello, Jude.
How are you, Maroon? Del? Massive
hey,
show.
Mm. Oh, mate, you know, it's Origin time. Maroon, I'm glad that you're here.
I'm glad that you're here.
Nothing but love for you, big Gussie. The ship is sailing nice and straight at the moment, yeah. But we miss you.
Well, the thing is, Jude, with Gussie, in the Ferdingham department, he's always looking after everyone else, making sure they're okay. And now we've got to cover off for him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're just going to lift our game a little bit just to cover because, you know, he is the captain that does normally steer the ship. But, Maroon, we're in good hands.
Okay. Now, I don't suppose either of you, it's a busy time of year for those of us involved with sport, but Vivid has been on in Sydney. And Sydney siders, for the most part, are unimpressed, saying that Vivid is underwhelming, blaming the freezing weather, large crowds, and lackluster light displays. Vast majority of the 2.4 million visitors enjoyed it, with small numbers complaining. So, I mean, have you ever been to Vivid at all,
yeah,
Jude?
Absolutely, Maroon. I love it. It's one of our great events. I think I haven't been as yet, but I'm going next Wednesday. I'm actually going to do a immersive dinner experience down there, which will be pretty amazing. And but you've got to rug up. It's cold in Sydney. That's the main thing at the moment. I think you got to just get over it. This is one of our great events, so just embrace it and get around it.
I mean, if you're going to start whinging about the weather, just get a coat.
That's right, mate. Beanie, you know, scarf. Like Jude comes in the studio like he's on the catwalk in Milan or something.
I got bagged incessantly when I wore that scarf the other day.
Yes.
But do it. If you're going to go to Vivid, put a scarf on. That's what you need to do.
And let's be honest, in the last 2.5-3 years, we've gone through COVID and we see what's happening around the world. People have just got to stop whinging, it up and get out, because we're whinging when we had to stay indoors.
Yeah.
Now whinging because we can go. It's cold. You know what? Here's a little secret. It's winter. It's going to be cold.
Oh, beautifully said, Del. Big news in rugby league world, Jude and Del. Two coaches have been sacked, or put it however you want, resigned in the last 24 hours. We wake up this morning to hear of Nathan Brown leaving the Warriors and then Madge leaving the Tigers. That brings the total to the year for three coaches. You know, I am surprised probably by the Nathan Brown thing, Del, because Brownie says he couldn't commit to going to New Zealand.
Yes.
I fear that he might have felt like he gets over there, they're still not winning.
Yeah.
And then he might have only had a short stint over there. He might have thought, and God love him, he's a Triple M man.
Yeah,
he's. We've known him 100 years. But he might have thought, I'm not going all that way, and I only last 6 months.
Yeah, look, yeah, a couple of things in and around that. You know, Brownie took the job on as the head coach of the Warriors. Just a couple of signs for me. I know it's probably not going the way that he wants it to go. You know, when he took responsibility for the Matt Lodge stuff as well, there's a few warning signs there. And then I think he's some of his comments last week about, you know, he just wants his team to be competitive, some things in and around that. But also, when you're saying to the playing group after what they've sacrificed the last couple of years and the fans that you're probably not that keen to go to New Zealand, he can't relocate. Well, mate, what does that say to your club?
It's a New Zealand club.
Yes.
Like, you've taken the role. Yeah. I just can't fathom that you can't think that we're going to relocate and actually spend time in the actual country. So, but yeah, obviously disappointing. And what a time to be doing it on the eve of Origin and to try and almost sneak it through. And then Madge McGuire. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, look, we shouldn't be surprised about the Madge situation because, you know, there was obviously, you know, it leaks like a sieve, that place sometimes, you know, the West Tigers. Yeah. And, you know, there's people who like Madge. There's people who said this is what's happening, you know. And then there's so much innuendo getting out there. And he's safe, you know, he's guaranteed his job. And then, you know, Tim Sheens is there. So this was always coming, I think. You know, it's a results-driven business. And, you know, they just haven't got the results at the moment.
Under his tenure in his first year, they finished 9th and then 11th, 13th in the years that followed. And only won 3 games thus far and sit third last on the ladder. So, yeah, it is. It's results-driven, isn't it?
I wonder if of the three clubs that have lost their coaches so far this year, Jude and Del, I wonder if we might see one of the coaches pop up at another club. Like, could Madge pop up with the Warriors job? Could Madge pop up at the Dogs? I mean, there's only so many coaches to go around, and this bloke has won a premiership and a premiership in the Super League as well.
Yeah, obviously he's a premiership coach, of course, but it hasn't eventuated it at the West Tigers. So I can't see him just being able to just bounce back straight away into another role. And there are some incredible coaches around. We know Seraldo's around there and those types of coaches. So I wait and see exactly, how they go. Obviously, Brett Kamoli will step into the interim coach role at the West Tigers. Mm. And there's plenty of potential coaches that could fill that role as well.
I think what Madge needs to do at the moment, it's like Baz, you got to step away for a little while, just let things calm. I don't think, he should go into another role straight away. I know the opportunity might be there, but there's a few people floating around like Seraldo on that. If I'm Madge, I'm just having a break because we are part of the problem too sometimes because, we're talking about their futures and, should he be the head coach and here and there. Like, we're part of that problem. And I know it's results-driven business, but a lot of pressure on coaches. And then obviously comes along with that with the family pressure too, in and around their families.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Might pick up the whole family and move somewhere else completely. But what about on the good news, the positive side of things, Origin is tomorrow night, Origin 1 in Sydney. I mean, you know what, Jude? These Queenslanders, they think they've got all the Origin culture, or they know all about Origin. Mate, tomorrow night there'll be 80,000 Blues supporters there. Let's see how they handle that.
Exactly right. Now we're hearing all about the professionalism of camp and Billy Slater's tenure let's just see how they roll because Freddie's just got that vibe in there. He just keeps them nice and relaxed and calm.
Firstly, you're a Victorian, Jude. Is that right?
He's lived here most of his life.
I know,
mate.
But he's Victorian. But I know that he's on the bandwagon. Mm. But also, Queensland, we are State of Origin. We built the culture of State of Origin. And that's why we love playing for our state. That's why we're just coming in and under the radar. New South Wales are favourites. They deserve to be. And also, you guys can't sell that stadium out at the moment, a Coors Stadium. It's not sold out, buddy.
It will be pretty much full tomorrow night. Now, listen, while we're on a Coors Stadium, what about this bunkum, this absolute nonsense that they should put a roof on it? What is this crap all about? They just built a new stadium in Moore Park. They just built a new one in Parramatta. And now they want to put a roof on this one. Why didn't they put a roof on one of those?
Incredible waste of money to throw around. And just there's other things that it could be directed to. As you mentioned, like we've got a chance to upgrade some of the other suburban grounds and things like that.
The hospitals and that. What about the frontline workers and stuff? Mm.
Well, exactly. So I'm not up for that at all. I mean, if you want to put a roof on a stadium, you had a perfectly good opportunity when you knocked down a perfectly good one at Moore Park. Put a roof on that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, boys, we'll leave that there. We're going to talk about a young bloke who had a great misadventure on his P-plates. We all have had a great story from being on our P-plates. And we're going to do that next on the Rush Hour at Triple M.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. No Gus today. He's still in hospital. Maroon, Jude and Wendell. Thanks to Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. They're the little Aussie battler of the betting world. We love an Aussie battler. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey. Download the Bluebet apps for iPhone and Android. Hello to our good friend Duncan McRae. Yes, I will be up there at Prince Henry with my partner again tomorrow morning, walking our dogs, you lunatic, you. Now, boys, a P-plater near Narrabri has stunned police with an offence rarely seen on the roads. Have a listen to this, because I guarantee you, whatever stupid things you did on your P-plates, the driver landed himself a $469 fine for the act, while he was handed a further $275 fine for failing to display his P-plates. But forget about the P-plates. Police pulled the man over in Wee War, which is where Jamie Lyon comes from, near Narrabri, after noticing something peculiar about the load he was towing. His Toyota Ute was towing another Toyota. So his Toyota Ute's towing another Toyota. Okay. But the second Toyota is towing a trailer with a tank on it. Oh. So he's in a Hilux towing another Hilux with a trailer on it, like a mini road train.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And police said the driver was issued a fine for towing more than one motor vehicle or trailer at once. You got any stories, boys, of...
I remember one of my mates I lived with, Heath James. He had a ute as well, and we lived down in Botany, down in Daphne Street, Botany, when I first moved to Sydney, and we were both on P-plates, and one of the guys was giving away a big wardrobe, and I thought, let's not let it go to waste. So we took around his ute, and it was just around the corner, like not a huge drive, a couple of Ks. We've loaded in the back, and it's a big, tall wardrobe, and I was standing in the back of the ute as we're driving along Botany Road and a few around, a few back roads, and it's starting to rain and spit rain, and I'm standing in the back. I just, like, it should have been issued a fine if we'd been pulled over. But the worst thing, Maroon, is we got it to the house, and I thought, oh, thankfully, carried it out, guys, tried to get it in the front door, had to take off the front door hinges and things like that. By the end, I realized I couldn't fit it through the front door, and I smashed it at the front and the street like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. It was terrible.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
What about you, mate? Because, I was responsible when I was young. I just got sillier as I got older.
I'll tell you this. This is a true story. Yeah. When I was 18, and I was driving my old man always had a Statesman. I was in the Statesman with the P plates on it.
Very nice.
And across the road, walking down the street, is my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife then. She's just a 16-year-old girl. We've been together 39 years. And anyway, I'm trying to impress her in the Statesman. So I start going backwards without looking, right? And I go straight into this Commodore, smash the Commodore up, but the Statesman's just got a little scratch. So I get out and I scratch. No one will notice. I go and knock on the bloke's door that owns the Commodore, and no one answers. No one saw me. And I was just so scared of my dad when I was like 18. So I didn't say anything to anyone. 2 weeks later, I turn up at my dad's panel beating shop, and the Commodore's in there getting fixed.
Wow.
Getting fixed. And I caused the damage.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good. Yeah.
Nothing from you, Del?
No, mate. I was responsible as a youngster. I told you.
We're going to kick off with you, Matt, in Menai. Hello, Matt.
Hey, boys. How you going?
How are you, Matt?
Good, mate.
What happened?
So going for my red peas, pass the test, call me dad, super excited. Yeah, pass me peas, loving it. Go pick up the missus for the obligatory Macca's run. Head up through a roundabout, straight through the roundabout, through a give way sign, and totaled the car pretty much on the give way sign, and had the awkward call back to me dad 2 hours later. So I totaled my car the day I got my license.
Oh man, you're in so pumped to get your license.
Though, yeah, that's the main thing.
God. A lot of emotions in one day, mate.
Can I ask a question? Did you get a clip, or were you okay?
Yeah, I missed that. Sorry, mate.
Did the old man give you a clip, or was he okay about it?
Oh, he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy. Good on you, mate.
Yeah.
Good on you, mate. Wait right there. 133353. We're off to Morisset on the Central Coast. Pete, go for your life. P-plate misadventures. What happened to you?
Oh, dear. How you going, fellas? I hope Justin's all good.
He's good.
Yeah. He's good, mate.
I was an apprentice mechanic to my father. My father's German, my mother's German, and he was old school, so he said, you know, you lose your license, you have no job. So we never did anything stupid on the street, but we used to go out the back of Morrison Hospital, then to the gun club and do all the stuff in the dirt out there when no one was around. We were doing reverse handbrakes in my dad's dual cab combi ute. And with my mate's car when he had a go in it, and he's flipped it onto its roof. We took it back to his house. His old man had a panel beating kit with the dollies and everything. We took the lining out and belted it all up, just coming on the dark on home. It had a steel roof rack on it. Told the old man that we were driving down to the beach and someone pulled out in front of us. And we drove into some low-lying trees and we damaged the roof. It was years later, we're married. I'm talking 20 years later, we're married. And we're having a family barbecue and the old boys, you know, with the Kranskis and the Bratwurst, you know. Anyways, we're there and talking about it. And he says, we talked about that story and he goes, you think I was stupid? You think I believe you hit some branches? You rolled my ute.
Good on you, Pete. Thanks for your call too, mate. And finally, Jimmy's in Mossman. Tell us your P-plate horror story, old mate.
Oh, yeah, bro. Hey, how's it going? So I'm from New Zealand. So in New Zealand, we call it, you're restricted. We don't have a piece.
Okay.
And one of the boys was like, bro, I've got a swing set. I need to transport it. And I was like, oh, bro, don't worry about getting a trailer. What we'll do, bro, is we'll just put it on top of the van and we'll just reach out the side and hold on to it. And we've got it all right. And if you actually Google New Zealand van hand trampoline or that, you'll actually see us. And then we got pulled over, and the cop comes over, and he goes, I'm not even going to worry about your license. And I was like, that's good, because I've got one, but somewhere.
Brilliant. Whatever your Jude gives us, his
locker room chat this week. For the latest entertainment and tech gear, plus a huge range of appliances, shop online at binglee.com.au. Available for delivery or 1 hour contactless click and collect at your local store.
Righto, Jude. Nat Fyfe played in the Waffle and is now set for return for the Dockers, who are absolutely flying at the moment. But where do they play him?
This is fascinating, Maroon, because he's a two-time Brownlow medalist and literally he's coming back in and he's got to try and fit into a side that is going so well. They've got a really good mix. But I think, you know, he's coming back from a back injury and you know, he's really had limited game time and he's had some injuries along the way. So I think he will mix a fair bit forward. And he mentioned that last night on an interview last night, just saying that he's going to play a lot of time forward, but then slot into this midfield. And he used to actually always say at the start of the year that the experiment of playing him forward is over. I'm just a sole midfielder. But now he realizes to be successful, he's got to just work amongst the constraints that they've got. And they've got some great midfielders in Will Brody and Andrew Brayshaw and Caleb Sarong and these guys.
Mate, what about the Swans? They had a terrific win over the Premiers, Melbourne. What were the keys to success here, mate?
For me, Del, it was all around their pressure. I thought, you know, even though Max Gawn was the best player on the ground, he dominated in the air and around the ground. But I just thought their pressure, guys like Sam Reed, really, you know, he laid 10 tackles. Every time the D's got the footy, they just stifled their run and they just didn't. They normally go so free flow and fast in their forward 50. However, the Swans just absolutely strangled them. And that's what you need to play against Melbourne and bring that pressure and then hurt them the other way.
Hey, Jude, still on the Swans. Logan McDonald, this is the Swans young key forward. This round's rising star. He's just growing in confidence every week, isn't he?
He is, yeah. I mean, it's a tough thing to be able to sit there and play in a forward line with Buddy Franklin. And I think, you know, as a young forward, he probably has had to sort of just bide his time at different stages. No doubt two of his best games are when Franklin has been out of the side, but he's also been mentored by Buddy as well. So he's coming along in leaps and bounds. And forwards do generally take a couple of years to develop. So he's a superstar, this young kid, and he's just growing in confidence. He kicked 3 goals, 3 on the weekend and stood up in some big moments.
Mate, what about Collingwood? Now they've won 3 straight. Mate, this is a massive game from now on Queen's birthday. How have they turned that around? And, mate, how good's this going to be?
Oh, huge game. It's always such a great one. It's a Freeze at the G, so it's the Danaher game and things like that for Freeze MND. And so it's a massive game on its own. But the fact that Collingwood have found some form and the D's are now two losses in a row, it just adds an extra element. And Collingwood have just brought a lot of pressure. They've run and their energy through the midfield. They've been able to take the game on and looking really good. Jack Crisp is having a sensational year. So excited to see where they go, but I expect the D's to bounce back.
Mate, who will coach the Giants in 2023, my friend?
Yeah, great question, Del. And I think, you know, first and foremost, I mean, the Mark McVay as caretaker has got the opportunity. When you're in there and you've got a chance to have your impact on the team, you almost get that first right. But Alistair Clarkson is out there. And, you know, he's the biggest name coach there on the moment. So, you know, they'll be definitely making a big play for him. But there's other potential coaches like Don Pike, Nathan Buckley could come into the mix as well. Jamie Graham as well has been a positive coach over in the West as well. So I'd expect they'd make a big play for Alistair Clarkson, but I also think maybe potentially Essendon have a crack at him as well.
Well, let's throw this at you, Jude. What about Madge Maguire? He is an NRL coach, mate, but he's already in the West. He's already in the Southwest.
Get him in there, you reckon?
I reckon.
No, I think Madge just needs to just have a little bit of time away and just have a freshen up.
A little bit of chill out time. Hey, for the latest entertainment and tech gear, plus a huge range of appliances, shop online at binglee.com.au. Available for delivery or 1 hour contactless click and collect at your local store. This is The Rush Hour on Triple M, Gus, Jude and Wendell. And of course, Gus off today. It's Maroon filling in and it's time to do this.
In the lead up to Origin Game 1, these are The Rush Hour's biggest Origin moments of all time.
Oh, throws up. New South Wales upon it. Oh, look, we can't wait, boys. There's one more sleep and then Origin is here. The big event on the rugby league calendar at the big stadium here in Sydney. And I want to, fellas, I want to take you back to Game 3 2006. It's neutral territory. It's Melbourne. Hodges has ruled out. New South Wales make a bunch of changes. Gal, Gowie, Luke O'Donnell, Ben Hornby. There's all these changes. And New South Wales are up something like 16-4 with 10 minutes to play. Brent Tate scores a try from memory.
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
And then this happens.
The Blues slow to get back into the line.
Yeah, the great Rabs Warren calling that one, Jude. So that was like New South Wales were up 16-4.
Yeah.
Then Queensland scored two quick tries. We're all level. And then Clinton Shivkovsky. Do you remember what happens, Del?
Yeah.
Kicks the goal.
Kicks the goal, yeah. But the Queensland boys are put on notice. Like if Queensland lose that, Petro, I think I heard Petro talk about this, Petro, Lockie, there's a couple of senior players. I think Stephen Price was in that team. They got put on notice and said, you know, if you lose this, there's going to be some wholesale changes. Mm-hmm. And that just turned the dominance around for the next, I think, 8 or 9 years.
Yeah,
Queensland. No, we don't want to talk about it. But it was, 06 to 2013.
Yeah.
That's just.
Queensland win the game and win the series 2-1. It won't be like that tomorrow night. I'll tell you what, though, Del, I'll give you a cupcake if you can tell me who was voted man of the match.
I'm thinking, wasn't Lockie. I'm thinking. Brent Tate.
Yes,
Brent Tate. Oh, yeah, cake it is.
You little genius.
I like
the surfboard down the back. Neck.
Yeah.
But that was great because you know what? That's a Queensland spirit. Never give up, never give in. We play to the 80th minute.
Origin live on Triple M tomorrow night. Make sure you listen in if you're working away, driving a truck. You can't get in front of the telly. We have the best call team and it all happens tomorrow night. We're going to take a break and come back. We're going to speak to Mark Geyer about Origin coaches and everything else.
Panther.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is the Triple M Rush Hour.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Gus, Jude and Wendell, just know Gus today, he's still off getting better from that hernia operation. He's listening to us as well. Love you, Gus. And another great old...
Is it a hernia?
It's a hernia. Yeah.
Sorry to about. I thought it was a. He was getting circumcised.
What made you think that at his age?
Well, you're never too late.
Is that right?
It was a heartstring. It was a heartstring.
Is that right, MG? You're never too late. I don't know.
Never too late. Well, I got done early, so
okay.
I was young. I was a youngster.
Okay. Hey, MG, everybody. Let's ask you the most important question in rugby league, or the most pertinent right now. Michael Madge Maguire has been shown the door at the West Tigers. A big day for coaches.
Yeah, you know what? I the timing is impeccable as always. Nathan Brown yesterday or this morning, Madge Maguire this afternoon, Origin tomorrow. All the focus of Origin is gone. We're now going to spend the next 24 hours talking about the Tigers coaching merry-go-round and the Warriors coaching merry-go-round and who's going to coach them. And all the while, we've got these two teams who are bolstered with energetic players coming out of their yin-yang, and we're not going to be talking about them, which is a real pain in the arse. I know that the clubs kind of, they do this. They wait till the halfway part of the season when there's a little bit of a lull in clubland, and that's when they pounce, if they're going to pounce on a coach that's kind of a dead man walking like these two both were. But I must confess, I didn't see Brownie's one coming, and I think with Madge it's been coming for a while, but I still didn't think they'd pull the trigger until at least Adam Dewey was back and seeing how they went with him playing. But alas, here we go again.
Timing's everything. I think the people that make the decisions, they understand for them to pull the trigger right now, the collateral damage, they know it's going to be big news, but because Origin's around it, it's going to soften the blow a bit more. With Madge, I'm not surprised. When you have, you know, some of the board backing you, people telling you you're safe, and then, you know, they're obviously very up and down. But even the Nathan Brown stuff, Nathan Brown, the writing was on the wall. Two things. When he's trying to take responsibility for the Matt Lodge thing, he gives himself an option there to, like, he's taking responsibility. So that's your first strike. The second part of that is when he says he doesn't want to go to New Zealand or you know, over there, after what they've just been through, if you have a coach who's your mentor, who's your leader, saying that, mate, you've got to pull the trigger on him. You know, I love Brownie. He's a part of this family. But it's writing was on the wall, wasn't it, boys?
Well,
I think so. I think so.
But don't you think, MG, perhaps Brownie thought, I don't want to get over there and I'm only there for 3 or 4 months, and then they pull the trigger?
Well, there's already been a couple of players state that, you and Aiken, saying that I don't want to go over there and play for New Zealand. And a lot of these guys, don't forget, have signed with the Warriors amidst COVID. So they've signed thinking that they're A, going to be playing out of the Central Coast and living out of the Star of the Sea, or B, now they're engrossed in Redcliffe. Look, I think if you sign for the Warriors, you've got to realise that sooner or later we're going back to New Zealand to play. And I think that's where the disappointment lays with me with Brownie, because I think going back to a virtual home ground, literally a home ground for once in 2.5 years, would have been an amazing feeling. Would have been one of the best feelings, I think, in rugby league outside of the Origin, what we're about to witness. And imagine Mount Smart Stadium when they play their first home game back there after being away for 2.5 years, and everyone says, yeah, you know what? They're settled now. They're at Redcliffe. No, they're not. They're not settled. They're living away from their extended family, and they've got no mates going to their games. They've got no dressing room. They've got no ground that's worth 10 points to them. The Warriors, I feel sorry for. I really do, because they're playing at the moment like they want to go home. And I think the quicker we get them home, the better, for not just the players, but for the competition, because at the moment they're a boat without a rudder. They look like they've lost their oars, they've lost their motor. They're trying to, you know, they're with their hands on the side of the boat trying to get themselves to shore. And it's I don't like seeing it with any sporting team.
MG, what do both of these teams need to achieve in the back end of the year? How do they sort of rally the troops? I mean, interim coaches step in and they're on a hiding to nothing quite often. But what do you want to see from both of these teams?
Well, I suppose one positive, Jude, is that they're not the Titans or the Dogs who are below them. The Titans are on 6 points, the Dogs are on 4, the Tigers are on 6, the Warriors on 8. I suppose as a fan, you just want to see something. You want to see a bit of a lift. Look, Tigers have shown some enterprise this year, and they've shown some true grit. They've lost a couple of one young kid they lost was Sean Blore. He's a young kid who's a back rower. And
yeah, very good.
A massive raps on the young kid. I know him personally. I actually coached him in under sixes when he was a young fella, but He's had two knee reconstructions, so he's got to have a bit of luck come his way. Adam Dewey, their best player last year, he's back in about a month with that knee injury as well. So I think just a bit of fight, Jude, is the answer. You want to see him fight. You want to see them, you know, because that's at the end of the day, this is our job. Your job is to have results, whether we're in radio, whether we're in AFL, NRL, basketball. We all get the punt if we don't give results. And unfortunately, for these teams, Doggies, Barrett's gone. And it's probably no coincidence at the moment. Yep. The next coach on the mound is Justin Holbrook, who they're circling.
Yes, indeed. Interesting times. This is the Rush Hour. Hey, MG, can we get you to stick around and we'll come back to you shortly?
You know it, baby. Can't wait.
Tell me this. Is Isaiah Yeo one of the best forwards in the game at the moment?
Oh, I think he's the best forward in the game, Del. I think he's the best forward in the game at the moment. I think he's showing that how, you know, remember Lock Forge used to be like the cover defenders like Johnny Raper and Ron Coote, and then Bradley Clyde brought another dimension to Lock Forge. He was the first forward to turn the Lock Forge into like a front row role. He'd get back there and do the second and the fifth hit up from the kick. And so that's where we kind of started to see this Lock Forge called a middle on the back of Brad Clyde. But since then, now that Isaiah Yeo is his ball-playing back rower, he's just taking it to another level, because what it does, it's freeing up the likes of Luai and Cleary every time they've got the ball. They don't have to think about anything. They know that they've got to be somewhere. Then outside of them, they've got their shape, and then they've got players coming in off reserve grade, players coming off the bench. Wherever they're coming, they know exactly where they are because of Isaiah Yeo, who is their most valuable player at the moment. I think, look, if you look at the best players in the league, Penrith happened to have two of them. You know, Cleary and Yeo. If you look at the top five players, you got Cam Munster.
Yeah.
He's top five.
Tamalolo still be in there, wouldn't he?
Tedesco. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tedesco and probably Tamalolo, your top five,
MG, if you're Billy Slater, where are you targeting for the Blues? Where are you looking at, say, Jack Whiten's defense in the center? Where are you going? High balls out the wide, you know, to Coates, and you know, what are you looking at?
I think definitely you've got to do something to the rookies. I think both coaches would be mad not to, Jude. I think young Cobbo and To'o, they can expect a high avalanche of balls all through the Origin tomorrow night. I think they're going to cop it deluxe. I really can't find any weaknesses in the New South Wales team, or the Queensland team for that matter. I think Queensland team looks fantastic, that they've picked a young team who are in form. And this time last, or less time in the last 3 or 4 years, we haven't had the chance to see the Cowboys or the Broncos playing as well as they have. The fact that now that Billy Slater's picking these players like Cobbo and Cotter, where's Reuben Cotter come from?
Yeah, no, he's been good.
Oh, my
mate,
goodness.
He grew up in the same town as me, so there was like Dale Shearer, Martin Bella, obviously Kevin Campion, you know, Cherry Evans, obviously myself as one of the greats from Serena. But, yeah, he's
– You are the greatest.
No, but he's one of us.
Who would be on Serena's Mount Rushmore?
Mate, Dale Shearer. Yeah,
there's four of his on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know there was four there. So there'd be Dale Shearer. mate, someone would say Martin Bella, but no one really likes Martin Bella. There'd be myself, Kevin Campion and Cherry Evans.
There you go. Oh, wow. Yeah. What a Rushmore that is,
yeah.
baby.
Yeah. All right, MG.
Good on you, MG.
So New South Wales to win, in a word?
26-18. Cleary, man of the match.
Yeah, good on you, MG. And, of course, Origin live tomorrow night on the Triple M Network. Jude and Dell, and this involves you, Dell. Move over Katy Perry. The Rush Hour's Dell is going to have his own crack at making an iconic menu log order. From Thursday, he'll list three different menu log orders, and you need to call in to correctly match the orders to the corresponding Rush Hour host to win the daily prize of $1,000 in cash to spend on menu log. Menu log has what you want when you want it. Did somebody say?
Menu log.
You know, the price of living, of particularly course. In this city.
Yeah, but how good's menu log? Even around origin time, the cash comes in handy for anything, especially food, because I like food.
I do too. Yeah. I ordered a nice pasta with menu log the other night. The Reserve Bank,
petrol's
of course.
Petrol's gone through the roof.
Oh, petrol.
Everything is.
Yeah. And, everything. I mean, if you want to use that
parking, when you go for parking, like how much does it cost you these days?
Tolls. What about tolls,
tolls.
Dude?
Tolls. Oh. Ridiculous. Even our parking at World Square here, if you don't have a pass like I do, it can cost you a lot.
But do you have to pay for your own petrol?
Yes,
so
of course.
$2, what, 30 for that Ultimate, BP Ultimate and all that? All right, so if you wanted to buy a house in Sydney, now everything just about starts with a one point something, doesn't it?
Yes, great.
At least. Here's how long you'd have to go coffee-free to afford a house in Sydney. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, hit me.
31,333 days. That's 86 years of going coffee free to buy. That's just to have the deposit to buy a house in Sydney. All right.
I can't go a day without a coffee.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
Can you?
But then when I go hard. I have like 4 shots and 2 sugars.
You sound like you might have done that this morning.
86 years, Maroon.
Yeah. Just say a deposit and around 313,361 days to pay off the house altogether. That's how much coffee you'd not have to have. So how long would you have to live? I mean, seriously.
A long time.
You would. You would indeed. Yes, it's up next. Two Strong Hearts, our favourite segment here on the Rush Hour at Triple M.
Driving home with three voices in your head. Gus, Jude and Wendell, the Triple M Rush Hour. The Rush Hour.
It's a karaoke favourite of a song too. Jude, tell us how we play Two Strong Hearts.
Now, Maroon, this is where I want you to connect.
Right.
Just mentally, not so much physically, but mentally
with
our guy Wendell Saylor. And you've got to look into his eyes. And I'm going to throw out 5 categories.
Right.
I'll give you 3 seconds.
Right.
And then you've got to say the first thing that comes to your mind and hopefully you two match, because that's what you are. You're connected. Two Strong Hearts. Here we are.
And you know that word kiss?
Yes.
Keep it simple, stupid. I'm not saying you're stupid, but that's for me. I always got to keep it simple because I overthink things.
First thing that comes into my head, I say, and we're going to try and match up.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Here we go. First category. An Australian band heard right here on Triple M in 3, 2, 1.
AC/DC.
What you said, in excess, and you said AC/DC. Is that right?
Yeah, so that's it,
mate.
Okay. That's my bad. Well, sorry.
Why didn't you say in excess?
I don't know, because I don't know.
Look into my eyes.
Sorry.
All right.
Hold hands if you need to.
No,
I don't know. Anyway, here we go. A Queensland Maroons legend in 3, 2, 1.
Wendell Saylor. I thought he'd say himself.
What's wrong with you,
goodness.
Lewis, mate?
You sew up yourself. You're
day,
always
Dale.
Talking about yourself.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I'm a legend. There's other people in front of me. Like, I know I'm pretty good, but
you
like.
Always say, maybe Broncos legend. You always say.
Yeah, okay. That's what we're on to. But if we get none, mate.
If we get none. I'm going to punch you right in the head. Don't worry about George Kambusis.
I'm a lover, not a fighter, mate.
Okay, me too.
Okay, here we go. A morning smoko snack in 3, 2, 1.
Lamington. Oh, he's hopeless. That's not a morning snack.
Yeah, sandwiches.
A packet
yes.
of Twisties is a morning snack. Oh, mate, a sandwich is something you have at lunch.
We're terrible, mate. No, we're terrible. Mate, come on.
Please. This is just letting the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on. Put it down. Mate.
Surely you'll get this one.
Are this the last one?
No, it's two more.
Okay, right.
Yeah, you
come on, look in my eyes. Okay.
Ready? A New South Wales blues legend in 3, 2, 1.
Freddie. Freddie. Who'd you say?
Oh, Fletch, I was going to say.
He's not a... Hey, we're old Fletch. Mate.
Come on,
we
mate.
We love Fletch.
Come on. Yeah. I had to think quick. But Fletch surely. Is my friend.
Freddie Fiddler.
All right.
Freddie.
I'm sorry. Okay.
This is the last one. Come
okay,
on, mate.
Come on. Let's get this one.
Surely this one.
Okay.
A member of the British royal family in 3, 2, 1.
Prince Charles. Oh, he's useless, this guy.
What about the queen? What about the queen, fellas?
I wouldn't find that was embarrassing.
Yeah, I know it was. Yeah.
Anyone, any danger.
Can we get one more?
No, that's it. We're done. We're all fine, mate. That's embarrassing.
All the hours we've spent together, Jude, in cars, going to gigs, going out to the bush.
Maybe you should mess stop talking about yourself and find a bit more out about me.
Yeah. Well, two strong halves, a complete failure today.
Yeah, I know.
So, 0-5.
That's
it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio tomorrow from 4 on Triple M.